when Ryokan and Zakkai met Vespasian at the end of the second base of Mikdash, Vespasian asked him, if you're so wise, why didn't you come to me before? If you knew that I'm going to be an emperor, you should have came to me beforehand and told, you know, and came out to me, came outside of the city. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai answered him, there are Yonim in the city. There are these strong men in the city. They're the ones in charge, and we couldn't get out. There was no way for us to get out. There was nothing we could do. Vespasian asked him, if there's a snake that wraps itself around a barrel of honey, and you want the barrel of honey, wouldn't you break the barrel in order to kill the snake? Wouldn't you want to break the barrel in order to get that snake out of there? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was silent. So Rabbi Akiva, and some say Rabbi Yosef, say, Meshiv Chachamim Achor, Vedaitim Yisachel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes turns the Chachamim backward and makes them foolish and doesn't give them the answer that they were supposed to say. He should have said, I'd rather take the snake off with the stick. I'd rather take the snake off with the stick and save the barrel. Now the Vespasian was saying, break the walls of the city, get into a civil war, I'm worth it. I'm worth coming out for, so come out and come see me. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai should have said to him, I'd rather save the city, save the walls, not kill anybody, find a way to get out like I did, and then come greet you.
But he shouldn't have.
So in other words, this is the best way to be able to go.
He shouldn't have said that, though. That would have never worked out in his favor.
Well, because he wanted to ask Vespasian for things. Regardless,
no, if you said that to Vespasian, Vespasian was like, well, you don't think I'm important?
Vespasian, in the end, because he didn't answer the question, said, I beat you, so I win. So because of that, Vespasian felt that he still was going to send somebody, and he still felt that he was slighted. But sometimes, mina shamayim, you don't answer the seemingly obvious answer, so something else can happen, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's misabited, something else will happen for you. Says the Netziv, we see a massive change in Yaakov Avinu's thinking from last week's Parsha to this week's Parsha. Think of what he does in last week's Parsha. He runs away from Lavan. He doesn't tell anyone where he's going. He doesn't say a thing to anybody. He runs away from Lavan without saying a thing to him, without doing anything whatsoever. He thought he wouldn't notice. He thought he wouldn't care. And once he realized that he was wrong, it incensed Lavan. He got Lavan so angry and had a Kadosh Baruch Hu that intervened, it could have been terrible for him. Yaakov Avinu changes his mind completely in this week's Parsha. He doesn't run away from Esav. He doesn't hide from Esav. He doesn't go to Yitzchak Avinu in a roundabout way. Say to him, like, I'm back, by the way. Don't tell Esav, but I'm back. No, he goes straight out to Esav and says to Esav, I'm coming. I'm coming, and I want to speak with you. That's exactly what he does. Now, this is an interesting idea, to go up to Esav and tell him that you're there. However, maybe it would have been better to delay his return, to delay his public return until he would have went to Yitzchak. We don't know what was better. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Heshiv Chacham Mechor. He turned them around in a certain way for certain things to happen. The Eitzah for Esav, the way that we deal with Esav is mentioned in Parshas Chukas. Pinu Lachem Tzafona. Get away. Hide from them. Don't deal with them outright. When you deal with Esav outright, you're going to lose. Because in this world, Esav wins. Esav wins every single time. You want to deal with Esav? Go around in a roundabout way. Don't drive the $200,000 car when there's all these people that are not Jewish around you. All it does is makes them think badly of the Jewish people. You want to make them think, okay, you act like a normal person. That's what you do. Don't get involved in their garbage. Yaakov Avinu putting himself in Esav's path is the exact opposite of what the Torah recommends for us. The exact opposite. Not Pinulacham right in front of him. Pinulacham Tzafona. Go on and be Tzafun. Be hidden from him. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this as Maisa Avosim Labanim. That if we do meet up with Esav in the future, any of us, as we all know, we're going to meet up with Esav all the time. There are three lessons of preparation that we have to get involved in. Bribing them, we get involved in preparation for war, we get involved in tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns things around for his own sibos. We may never really know why, but in the end, it's all for our good. But it wasn't necessarily good for Yaakov. Think of what happened. He ran away from Laban, and because he ran away in that way without telling him, what happened? He lost his wife, Rachel Imenu. He does this with Esav and goes straight up to Esav, and he hides Dina. And what happens to Dina? She gets raped. What an unbelievable mindset. What an unbelievable lesson. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes messes over those in charge in order to get about some type of siva, some type of situation that he feels is the best for all of Klal Yisrael. That is an unreal lesson that we're learning straight out from Yaakov Avinu over here. Reasons to wonder exactly what Yaakov Avinu did with Esav. Chedusha Rin says Yaakov Avinu was machnia himself completely to Esav. He didn't fight him in the least. He didn't go up to him. He didn't bother fighting. When he heard the 400 men were coming, what was his preparation for war? It wasn't, let's sharpen our knives. It wasn't, let's get our bows and arrows ready. No, it was, you go over there, at least one of us will survive. He didn't teach them any preparations for war. Nothing. It's unbelievable. He called him Adoni, my master Esav, all the time. Now, granted, he was the firstborn, but still Adoni, to be known as the master. He gave him presents. He sent him malachim. He sent him angels. People, who sends anyone angels? Who does that? What does this mean? What is he referring to? It's the concept of what we're calling the Se'ira Mishtaleach, the goat that's sent out on Yom Kippur. We give something to the Sultan. We give him a gift. We give something to him. So that why? So that at least we give him a little bit of kavod for fulfilling his mission in this world. We have to understand something. It's true that doing so and getting involved in the Sultan, especially directly, that hurts us. You never want to get involved in the Sultan. The more you're involved with the Sultan, even though you think you're doing a good thing, you're going to get messed over. There's absolutely no question you're going to get messed over. It's going to happen. And Yaakov was punished. Yaakov was 100% punished for being Machniah himself, and that we now have Golus Edom because Yaakov bowed down 7 times. We now have Golus Edom. That was a huge, huge issue. But Yaakov understood something very, very great here, and this is what we learned from Yaakov. This is something that we take to heart. Yaakov's job in this world was to cause shalom, to cause peace. Granted, there may be times when it seems we should fight, but in the end, as Jews, we always know fighting never helps us. The only time it ever worked was by Hanukkah. The only time we ever fought, think about it, when did we ever celebrate a war that we won? There are shofim all over the place, what we were doing, but that was part of the conquering of Eretz Yisrael, and it was part of our protection or whatever. When have we ever started a fight and went up against people who were trying to do something to us? Even in Purim, we had to be goaded into it by Achashverosh. By Hanukkah, we did it because they were spiritually trying to destroy us. That's the only time Jews get involved in such a thing. Because Jews have never been successful in such measures unless it was us with our ruchnias being destroyed. That's the concept. And by the way, who says the Hashemayim won? Hashemayim won a battle. And they were able to get the Beis HaMikdash back for a little bit. But the Misyavnim were still around. Herod took over the Beis HaMikdash very, very soon afterward. And there were a lot of problems. It was never easy times for the Jews. Golus Yavan still existed even though we had the Beis HaMikdash. It was never easy for us. Yaakov is the man of absolute peace. He goes up against Lavan, he doesn't fight. He goes up against Esav, he doesn't fight. He showed us that until Mashiach comes, we don't fight. We don't fight. That's not our way. The best path is to turn away, continue to learn, build yourself up. In the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. There will be Siyata Dishmaya. Yaakov understood that would cause pigamim. There are going to be little issues, but in the upper olamos, that is the way to be, and that's the way things are going to work out the best way.
He also didn't want to fight Shechem.
Yeah, 100%. Shechem. It's unbelievable, right? Yaakov viewed Lomais. Means that Yaakov knew the physical body died. But Yaakov knew Schus and his Shalom last forever. And that's the concept. That's what we're trying to say to the Kudusha Rim. You know, the only time that Yaakov actually fights, this week's Parsha, fights the Malach of Esav. How'd that work out for him? It's unbelievable, isn't it? The Malach of Esav goes up to him and starts fighting with him. And then it says, Vayihi be'ov ko'imo. When he fought back, when Yaakov held back, at some point the Malach of Esav was holding him. And at that point, Yaakov was not affected, nothing happened. At the end of the night, when the Malach starts to think, I've got to go up, I've got to go up, and Yaakov just grabs him a little bit to say, oh no, you're not going just yet. At that moment, the Malach punches him in the leg. Because when Yaakov Avinu fights back, that's when he gets hurt. Granted, he didn't die. We don't always die, but there's an effect. We are affected by those types of fights if we get involved in those types of things, because his midah is shalom. And in a way that a person goes, that means in the way that you walk, the place that you go, he got punched right there so that he couldn't walk correctly, because the way that he was going with shalom never ended up happening. That's the oath for us. Never fight more than what's absolutely necessary. And if you fight too much, you'll be killed. Not killed. You'll be hit. Hit in the leg. You'll be nailed in some way, shape, or form. It's a bit strange. Chiddush HaRim says, Yaakov was promised by God he would be okay. He's promised. You're going to go back to Earth, so everything's going to be okay. And yet he davened. And it's for us. It's for us to know that wherever we are, whenever we have a time, whenever we have a problem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of us. All you have to do is daven. That's the line that the Chiddush HaRim says over here. Even in the Choshech, even in the problems, you still can daven and everything will be okay. Now, one of the most unbelievable Rashis. I have a Chiddush over here. I hold this absolutely an unbelievable Chiddush. This is something that I'm basing myself on Rav Wolfson and on Chassam Sofer, but I think it's going to be it's big. I think this is a very, very good idea. Lamed Beis Chav Gimel. Let's go through the pasuk just a little bit. Lamed Beis Chav Gimel says the following. It says, "Vayakam b'laylahu." Lamed Beis. No, that can't be. I must have messed that up. Lamed Bey is Chav Gimel. Yeah, Lamed Bey is Chav Gimel. By Yalkam Belayla, who he got up in that night, by Yikach Hashina, he took his two wives, the Shesha Kosin and his two, I guess you could say, servant wives, that the Chadis Sir Yulodov, and his 11 children, the Alboris Mavia Bok, and he crossed over Mavia. Now, Binyamin hadn't been born yet. Okay, so you got 11 kids. But what about Dina? So what does Rashi say?
She was in a box.
She was in a box. Normal thing to do with your kid. Put her in a box and brought her across so that Esav wouldn't see her, because what would happen if he saw her?
He'd want to marry her.
He'd want to marry her. And Yaakovinu didn't want Dina to marry Esav. What's the shot? Why didn't he want her to marry Esav? Well, the answer is, would you want your kid to marry Esav? I mean, granted, your kid might influence Esav, but would you want your kid married to the biggest Russia of all time? Is that something you would want to have happen? I mean, we can all understand why Yaakovinu didn't want to marry Dina off to Esav. So why was he punished? Rashi says at the very end of it, right after it goes through that he hit Esav, it says, where is it? Lakach, Nenesh Yaakov, Sheninna Me'onkhiv Shemetach Zorin Lamuta, V'Nafla B'Yad Shechem. Yaakov was punished. She was held back from his brothers. Maybe she would have turned him around, and instead she was given over to Shechem. Wasn't this a good idea? Hold back your daughter from marrying a Rasha? It's a Gemara Ksach on Memtas. You're supposed to marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham, not to a Rasha Gomer. Why? You're not supposed to marry your daughter off to somebody just in case your daughter can influence him to do good. You're not supposed to do such a thing. So why are we blaming Yaakovina for doing such a thing? Why are we blaming Yaakovina for keeping his daughter away from such a person? Is that the way we're supposed to act? So here's the pshat. Maybe the whole part of it is like this. Yaakovina took away Esav's wife. Who was Esav's wife? Leah. Leah and Dina were extremely similar. They're both known as Yatsanios. They went out. Leah went out to grab Yaakov when she had sold the Dudoyim for the night together with Yaakovinu. She went out to go get Yaakov, which is considered a non-womanly thing to do. To go out and grab the husband and say, you're sleeping with me tonight. That's what Leah did. And therefore, Dina had the same issue of Vateitze Dina. That Dina went out to see Liros Bibnos Arts, which was not a normal thing for women to do back then, to go out and see the other people, to leave the tent apparently without protection or without somebody there, was dangerous for them and did not always work out the best way. And obviously here, Leah was supposed to be given over to Esav. When Leah wasn't given, Dina was supposed to be given over instead. She was the act. What's a Yitzanis? What does that mean that she's a Yitzanis? It means she has the ability to go out and help other people. She had the ability to influence. She could go out and do something for other people. The same way that Leah went out to the crossroads to ask how Esav was, to know was she going to be able to affect Esav. Dina was doing the exact same thing. She's going out to help out the Benos Aretz. She was influencing them, trying to convince them to do good, trying to convince them to be good people. That's what Dina was doing. Dina was such a person that could influence Esav. She was the type of person who had the ability to do such a thing. She was perfect for that. But instead, Yaakovina puts her in a box. Again, who put anyone in a box? Shagayan behind a box is closes her off and doesn't allow her to go out. Says, I don't want Dina to be the Yitzanis, to go influence other people. She'll be okay as she is. Yaakov Avinu didn't allow Dina to do what she was made to do, which is she was made to go out and influence. So the punishment was that Dina was going to find her way out of the box. She did, to go see the Benos Haaretz, to convince them about Judaism, to see what everything is. And at that moment, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, she's going to get her husband now. If she's going to be let out to go see those Benos Haaretz, then Yaakovina, you were wrong. You let her out to go convince them to become Jewish. She should have gone out to convince Esav to become Jewish. If she didn't do that, then this is what's going to happen to her. Shechem is going to grab onto her. Who is Shechem? What is this guy? Choshka Beni, my son desired. The word cheshek is a spiritual desire. That's not chefetz, as in a physical desire. It's cheshek. What was Shechem? Shechem, according to the Chiddush HaRim, stands for Shem Kivod Malchuso. As in Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso L'Olam Boed. Shechem had the ability to find God within nature. He wasn't using his kokos properly. He was Shechem, along with his father Hamor, who believed in the chumriest of the world, who believed in the physicality of the world. He was somebody who didn't believe that you could find a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But when he saw Dina, he saw there's something that he doesn't get. And he was together with her thinking it's a physical thing. It's a physical desire when he was together with her and saw that he still desired her. He said, hold on a second. Something here. There's something going on here. And he immediately went to Yaakov, and he didn't just rape a girl and that was it. He went to Yaakov and said, I want to marry your daughter. Your daughter is special. There's something going on here. He's willing, just think about it, he's willing to mutilate himself at his age, to mutilate himself in order to be together with their daughter. What an unbelievable thing. Shechem, he convinced his whole city to get bris milas. He convinced the whole city to get a bris mila. For what? For him to marry a girl. That's unbelievable. Shechem had an ability to cause others to become kadosh. He could go out there and convince others and help them and tell them, this is what you need to do to find a kadosh baruch hu. He had the ability to spread shein kavod malchuso throughout the entire world. You know, Rav Olson brings down from the Seder Adoros, Shechem is the neshama of Rabbi Hananiah ben Tradyum. Rabbi Hananiah ben Tradyum was a great tzaddik, one of the Tanoim, who's well known for his miracles and kindness. Hananiah ben Tradyum. Rabbi Hananiah ben Tradyum is the lush of Rachavas, Reish Ches Beis Tov, Rabbi Hananiah ben Tradyum. And the Pasuk says in Lamed Dalet Chafal, Hine Rachavas Yodayim, that Shechem said to the people, we're going to widen our borders. It's going to widen out. That's what Shechem was. Shechem was the definition of widening people's ideas. Telling them, there's more than just what meets the eyes, guys. I thought it was all physical. I thought it was just, I'll take a girl. She's a beautiful girl. I'm going to go take her. But there's more to it. There's something else here. There's a kiddush here that I'm not getting yet. And there's something with these people that's more than just that. So he said to the people, come get a bris mila. Sure, it hurts physically. But spiritually, it's going to help us. Spiritually, it's going to do something to us. And he couldn't figure out what it was, but he knew it was there. And this is what Shimon and Levi didn't get. Shimon and Levi and all the Shvatim saw them and said, they're not doing it for the right reasons. They're doing it for the physical aspect, and that's that. And he said, that's not enough. I don't like that. Shimon and Levi therefore went and destroyed. And they said, Hakizona, it can't be in such a tummy-dick way. It can't be that Shechem found his Kedusha in such a tummy-dick way by taking our sister as a Zona. It can't be. There's no way you can find yourself spiritually by such a way. And Yaakovino was silent. Yaakovino said nothing when he saw Shechem, because he understood. Shechem fell down to the bottom of the barrel, fell down to the very bottom of the ground, and could build his way up. And Yaakovino saw that, and when he saw that Shimon and Levi killed Shechem, he yelled at them and said, what's wrong with you? Do you realize what you did? You lost Shechem. You lost all of this. We had a chance to make an entire city kadosh, and you lost it for us. What an unbelievable line from Yaakovino. We understood the following. Every shevet has their own chilek in Eretz Yisrael. Every Shevet is supposed to get their own portion in Eretz Yisrael. Every single one. That means 12 Shvatim, 12 Chalakim. But we all know there's supposed to be a 13th Shevet. Dina, the brother-in-law, the husband of Dina, has to be somebody else. It could be that Yaakov Avinu's idea was, each one of my Shvatim will get a chilek. And then there's going to be one person who's going to be spread throughout Klal Yisrael. A connector. One guy who will go around doing everything, bringing everyone together. And that's Dina's husband. He wasn't sure who he was. He wasn't sure who he was going to be. But Shechem, somebody who can spread Shem Kivod Malchuso, there's no one better than him. He's the guy. He's what I want. He's the person who can spread it out. So the plan was 12 Shvatim, 12 Chalakim. And there's going to be a 13th Shevet who would be throughout Klal Yisrael, would not get a portion there at Yisrael because Dina doesn't get a portion. And Shechem would live throughout them and help them get together and teach them and be a person who was going to connect everybody. That was Shechem's job. That was the idea of what Yaakovino wanted to have, to be ma'achid everybody. That was going to be Dina's husband. He'd be the teacher. He'd give them Kavod Malchuso, and maybe Shechem and Dina would have accomplished that, but you killed them in your haste. And now, you're going to take over that job, Yaakovino told those Shvatim. Who were the two Shvatim? Levi and Shimon. Neither one got a chiluk in Eretz Yisrael. Levi was spread throughout Eretz Yisrael to be the teachers. Because if Shechem and Dina are not going to do it, he's going to do it. And because of Levi, he has to split off Ephraim and Menashe. So Ephraim and Menashe will get the 12 Kalachim. They'll be number 11 and 12. Yosef will be split off into two. And Levi will be spread all throughout Eretz Yisrael. And Shimon would have been the exact same thing. But he messed it up. Shimon, when he got involved with the Znus, we see that when he goes out into the world, Shimon messes up. Shimon gets involved in the Arias. Shimon does the wrong thing. So for that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for that, Yaakovinu said, Shimon will not be that way. But the Hasidim say the following, that La'asid Lavo, Shimon will be the teachers. Shimon are going to be the leaders. In this world, Shimon has the Yetzirah. But the bigger your Yetzirah, that means the greater tzaddik you are. That means that Shimon now is going around doing these things. But in the future, Shimon is going to be the ultimate tzaddik. And I've never fully understood. This is something that I've never understood. The 10 lost tribes, right? 10 lost tribes. Yehuda and Binyamin stayed in Eretz Yisrael. Levi doesn't count. Yehuda and Binyamin stayed in Eretz Yisrael. All the other Shvatim were lost. Where was Shimon? How was Shimon lost? Shimon was part of Yehuda's chelek. Shimon has cities interspersed within Yehuda. They had no shaychus to the other 9 Shvatim. Why are they lost? Why are they considered part of the 10 lost tribes? But the pshat may be that Shimon doesn't belong in this world. They just got involved with Yehuda and now they're gone. They're just within Yehuda. Only L'Asid Lavo can we bring Shimon back, and Shimon will be found to be the leaders of Yehuda. The leaders that came about, the greatest men of Yehuda, people that had huge Yitzrei Hara, but knock them down and become great. That was the line of Yaakov Avinu. You killed them? So what does Yaakov Avinu say in the bracha? How can be Yaakov? I'm going to divide them up in Yaakov. The deep same be Yisrael. I'm going to scatter them among the Yisrael. You guys now have the job that Shem was going to have. That's why Shimon married. Who did Shimon marry? Dina. That's why Shimon had to marry Dina. Because the whole concept, it's a question of how you can marry your own sister. Granted, she was from Rachel Imenu, so therefore she wasn't a full sister of Shimon. It's Akasha. It's Akasha. Right, there's Akasha. There's a bunch of answers, but it's Akasha. Shimon married Dina because he realized that that was his job. He tried his absolute darndest to do what he was supposed to do. But Shimon is not the same way. Shimon was not Matzliach the same way Levi was. In the future, Shimon will be Matzliach, but he wasn't Matzliach the same way. I feel that that's the real job, the difference between Shechem and Dina, what could have been, and now Shimon and Levi, and again what could have been with Shimon, and in the end what only happened with Levi. Yeah.
But if Shechem was the husband of Dina, why wasn't Shechem chosen to be spread out throughout Israel and Levi was chosen to be
Shechem? He would have been. Shimon would have been. If not for the znus that happened at Maisa Shittim, that would have happened. That would have been exactly what would have happened. It just never happened because Shimon messed it up. We're going to end up with this. We don't have that much time. What time is it? Oh, we're going to have to stop with this for right now. Go stop with this for right now. We have a Ramban. Let's see.